It's good to see everyone out this evening. It's always wonderful to come and study the Word of God and to worship as we have the opportunity to do so. You know, this morning in Bible class, we had finished up as far as I wanted to get to in class a little bit early with the boys this morning. And afterwards, so I try to always ask them some other questions, keep it on Bible subjects, talking. And, you know, kind of came into a question of, you know, learned anything about the Bible, have studied the Bible, or read. And then they kind of came back at me, well, did you learn anything this week, anything new, you know, to the full extent of learning? So I had to sit there and think about it. And my mindset actually said, well, I didn't necessarily, to my knowledge, I might have learned something new biblically, but I might have relearned something. I went over something that I felt like I just had not been over in a while. And as I thought about it, because in my set, I just, you know, I remember using the verses quite often. And then, you know, and as I think about past little while of sermons and classes, it seems like it's been a while since I've gone over these verses. And so as we're going through, if you follow along in the reading a chapter a day and the schedule that I had given at the beginning of the year, we entered into the book of Hebrews yesterday. We entered into the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and today we're in Hebrews chapter 2. But just the very first part, I remember using verses 1 and 2 more often than I do now. I don't know why. It seems like I got away from it. So when he asked that question, that's where my mind went. My mind's like, yeah, I know I've read these verses. I know I've studied these verses. But the other day when I came back through it, I read through this chapter, it just kind of re-hit me, re-established some stuff. And verses that I sit back and say, I don't know why I haven't used these verses in other lessons that I've done more recently and stuff. So this evening, I just want to go through Hebrews chapter 1. This is my only slide. I'm just going to read through it, make some points as we go through Hebrews chapter 1. But I feel like it is focused on these two points here, Jesus and the angels. It's focused into a point of us comparing it and looking at how Jesus is more than the angels as you go through this chapter. And so so we'll start off with verse 1. We're going to just read through the chapter, make some points as we go throughout it. Maybe it'll start something, I'll go through the rest of the book, or we'll just have to keep on reading each chapter and what verses I pick out for the verse of the day on Facebook and but starting in Hebrews 1 and looking at verse 1, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So these first few verses, this is where it really hits me on, that I feel like I haven't used this chapter of Hebrews, these verses of Hebrews, that much. I remember using these two verses more often. You know, I refer to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. As we talked about last Sunday and this morning, go to Peter, 2 Peter 1, and we point out how it is that we speak of our Lord and Savior, and that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit as men wrote these things, and God is spoken by God's breath. And so here's other verses that we can use to point that out. Here, verses 1 and 2, and then when you get into chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, it comes together bringing out that point that these are the words of God. But again, it's making the comparison of Jesus and the angels as you look at this, because it brings out in the first part, long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But as we continue here in chapter 1, it also makes a mention of the angels being messengers. And so, in a way, that's one of the ways in which God had sent his message. And so we'll point this out again as we get to the verses. But God spoke to people, to mankind, by angels. And again, it was word of God, right? They were messengers of God. And so it was to be kept. It was to be kept, and they were justly punished if they did not listen to the words of of the angels of God. But he says, nowadays we don't receive the word from angels. We don't receive the word from a burning bush, and again, we don't receive the word as God speaks from the mountain to Moses, and we don't have visions and dreams as they did in the old times, in the Old Testament, but He speaks to us by His Son. His Son is who He speaks through today. He speaks to us through Him. Again, that is through the Word of God that the Lord has given that to us. But it goes further in this verse too. It says, "When He had appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world." And so right off the bat, it speaks about Jesus and trying to prove that He is more important. And I believe this so easily can be applied as we think about, again, why it is the new law is more perfect than what the old law was. Why the new law is here and why the old had to be put away. Because, again, He was there in the beginning. He created all things. And He is the heir of all. Pick it up in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." And so just start here. It talks about our Lord and Savior. It talks about how great He is, how wonderful our Lord and Savior is in this verse. That He is the glory of God. He is the radiance. I mean, when we read about Jesus, and you read about His birth, and you read about Him as a child sitting in the synagogue and asking questions, and then you read about the miracles and the kindness that He had, the love that He had shown, the patience that He had, the way He was able to overcome temptation, it says God was just beaming through our Lord and Savior. Making the point that He and God are one. And that as God, you know, as He prayed in John, He prayed that we become one, just as God is in Him and He is in God, that they are one in mind. But in everything that Jesus has done here on earth represents and shines our Father up above. He says this is the image. That's why when His own apostles, disciples, that's why He lived here. You know, let us see the Father. He says, "You see the Father. You have seen Me. You have seen the Father." Because He was just a mere image. Everything He had done was according to the will of the Father. And so He shines the glory of our Lord, of our Father and above. And again, His power. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. But then it goes further, and again, what He has done for us after making purification for sins, the sacrifice that Christ has made for you and me, and dying on the cross, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on Him. Again, showing that He has that respect for the Father up above, knowing that the Father is the one that has the authority, but the Father has given the authority over to the Son. He's given it over to Christ. He sits at the right hand, and now He is the heir. And as you continue to pick up in verse 4, "Having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Again, remembering that He became human, He became a little lower than angels, right? He became a human. He took a human form. He took a form that can be destroyed, that is not as powerful, that just became lower than the angels. Again, making the comparison throughout this chapter of angels and Jesus. At one time and point, He humbled Himself that low. No lower than angels. But because of His faithfulness, because He was true and He was just and He died and made that sacrifice, He became higher, much superior to angels. In His name alone, His name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And in verse 5 it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are My Son, today I have begotten you,' or again, 'I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son.'" And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world and says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." So from the beginning, He was always higher than angels. In
And even though he took that form of a man,
he said, all angels worship him. Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is higher than that. Jesus is that deity with our Father above, with the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that. Remember not to think of Jesus as another angel, not to think of Jesus as just some apostle or as another prophet. Jesus, the first and only begotten Son of God. Name above all names, higher than the angels. And even angels are called to worship. Even the angels are called to worship. As he has gained a name higher than them. Verse 7, it says, of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Again, so here in verse 7, that is what I was referring to as we talk about verse 1. And the angels were part of God sending the word out to his prophets. Again, there's time again as we study the Old Testament when it speaks of Abraham seeing the Lord and coming into there, you know, and camping with him. And Abraham made the meal. We know Jacob had wrestled with an angel. But at the same time, if you read one part, it seems like it's talking about God. Another part, it seems like it's an angel. But we know the Bible straightforwardly says that no man has ever seen the Lord face to face. So we know it wasn't a direct appearance. And we know because Moses could only see a glimpse of the glory of God, plus he died. And even that little glimpse of seeing the back of our God, his face was changed, it was shining. So we know in those points that they were not the true image of God. In what way did he appear unto them? And again, as the angel went into Sodom and Gomorrah. So time and again, we see angels in their activity as God used them until he needed not to use them anymore because why? Because they sent. They sent. Again, why there's no need for the angels, there's no need for the gifts of the Holy Spirit any longer, because the Son has come, the Son has given us the inspired word, the Holy Spirit guided these men, no longer needing to perform the miracles after he confirmed the truth that they taught. So again, how Jesus is so much higher. So verse 8 says, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever. And ever, the scepter of the uprightness, the scepter of your kingdom, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Again, it speaks of our Lord and Savior here in verse 9. It goes in that you love righteousness and hated. Again, as you just read through this, and it's just that, again, as we read through this, I read through this the other day, preparing to do the verse of the day that I do every morning. Why does it feel like I haven't read this in a while? And the explanation of our Lord, speaking of his righteousness, speaking of his hate of wickedness. I know we got so much in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you guys are studying Revelation, and there's so much detail throughout the entire Bible of our Lord and Savior. But this is just this one chapter of 14 verses, speaking of the power that he has, how high he is above the angels, how righteous he was, how much he hated wickedness. He truly was the image of God upon this earth, God with us, Emmanuel. Verse 10, it says, and you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. Again, going back to the point that Jesus created all things. He was there in the beginning when everything was created. Everything was made through. But it goes further than that. It says, you know that all this is going to be destroyed.
All this is going to be gone one day. All this is growing old. And we know the Father set a time aside for this. But you will live forever. You will continue long after everything else is gone and has perished. Again, how great. How wonderful.
Verse 13 says, "To which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?"
Again, bringing out the angels who sent to spread the word. They were sent, they were used, they are ministers of God.
Gives us an idea more about angels as we read through this chapter. About their work and what they should be doing, what they were doing. But it also speaks to the point of who Jesus truly is. We must appreciate truly what the angels have done and have done, continue to do for our God. The word that we have in the Old Testament, preparing the way for our Lord and Savior with all the prophecies that were given to the prophets. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is great. Jesus is the Son of God, and He is the one in which He made this promise to. He says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Again, He said, I haven't rewarded any of the angels, but I have rewarded my Son. Because He is the Son of God. He is the true. So I hope that I've helped that as we look at this chapter again. I enjoyed reading through it. Felt like it was worthy of talking and reading through again. And just looking at the comparison as you go through this one chapter, 14 verses of Jesus and the angels. And just continuously back and forth in those two. And as we look at it, why it's so important to understand of whom it is that we worship, who it is that we put first above all. But we do not fall for any temptations that the world, that men set before us, we know that angels in the past that had tried to deceive others, that a devil, a demon, it says God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. They were those who had fallen. They had powers and they had fallen. They were there and seen so much that God has already done. Let us not fall into the same thing as those. Continue faithfully in what our Lord has blessed us with. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. You're here. Now obey the gospel. We encourage you to do it. Encourage you to look and see who Jesus is. And to thank Him for what He has done for you. And in doing so, come forward and confess your faith. Turn to Him. And be baptized. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel and there's something else that we can do for you, let it know.
And what shall we do?